Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, we exalt you, and we know that as we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. We bring glory to you tonight in this place, and we know that as we do so, you fill this temple with your presence. Lord, that your name be glorified in this place tonight. Lord, that there will be a move of your Spirit, that your word will penetrate every heart, O Lord, both those here and watching via live streaming. Let your name now be glorified. And Father, that when we leave here tonight, we all will walk out different than when we came in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, band. You blessed me as always. How wonderful. And look at this audience. Praise God. I think you need to give yourselves a hand. Come on. Isn't this just amazing? Good evening to you all. And I've got an interesting topic tonight, unfinished. And I asked them to do a bridge that is not finished yet, which is on this side. And thank you, Philip, for this wonderful graphic. This is quite a topic. Have you ever heard a message with a parental guidance warning? Ever heard a message where there's actually not for sensitive viewers? Well, tonight's one carry a rating of NLTS, not licensed to sin. So if you're an umbrella Christian, close your umbrella. The rain has stopped. What a lovely, lovely outpouring. Amen. Let's give the Lord thanks for the rain. Wonderful. Fantastic. So all the umbrella Christians, close and say, tonight I'm going to take the message for me. Because as always, Tiens Blom stood first in the row and I didn't take off. Thank you. Is that okay, Wes? Good. So I always stand first in the row. You know, God gets me first, and I live this message a week or two or three sometimes before we preach it, depending on how long we know we have time. So this has been quite a journey for me, and I had to again do this and say, okay, Lord, here I am. So this message carries this NLTS, not license to sin, rating. And the reason is because we all can very easily say, oh, you know, but it's not for me. I am so okay. I am finished. No, the good news is from my left to my right, from the front to the back, and all of you watching, none of us are finished yet. Amen? Amen. Okay, now you had an opportunity to say, oh my, or aina, or ouch, or yebu, or something. We're in the month of January. The month of January is named after the Greek god Janus. He's got one face looking forward and one face looking backward. Many of us, as Pastor George this morning spoke, we get stuck in the past and we're busy with things of the past. I want to encourage you on this first month of the year to put your hand in your bosom. Tonight is the start of the fast, and some have started already. Those of you that are starting with your Daniel fast tonight, see all the bottles of water going like that. Yay, it's a good sign. It means that we are going to do introspection. We are going to do purification. We are going to do sanctification in the time to come. Interestingly enough, and I need to pronounce this correctly, Februm, if it's correctly pronounced, is the Latin for February. And that means purification. Isn't that interesting? So in the first month, we're looking not backwards. We stop that. We're looking forwards into 2019. And the Lord gave us a word. Thus far, He has helped us. And He's going to help us further. If you missed that one, you need to get it. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. And we put up a memorial stone, Ebenezer, which says, the Lord The rock is my helper. Amen. So, February means we're going into a period of purification. Amen. So many of us are asking serious questions this time of the year. And it's good to ask questions. The day that you stop asking questions, you're in trouble. We need to always ask questions, but there are right questions and wrong questions. Remember, there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Because the devil would also like to give you some answers and tell you, oh, you didn't do this and you should have done that and whatever else. These questions are, some of them, am I now closer in January of 2019 than what I was January 2018? Oh, you're so quiet. Am I now closer than what I was last year this time? If you're closer to the Lord, you've made progress. If you're not closer, you stagnated. If you're worse off, you're backslidden. That's a fact. So the next question is, am I more Christ-like now than what I was last year this time? Can people see more of Christ in me, or am I just looking exactly the same, just a year older? What can be done about my personal spiritual journey, and what will I do to grow spiritually this year? New Year's resolutions or demolishings or whatever else. You know, we've got all these good intentions in the beginning of the year. And often they don't last longer than a week. Amen? Oh my, ouch. I've at least lost 4 kilos already and my family is jealous. Okay, so we need to ask the right questions here at the beginning of the year. And I want to give you an answer. In front of you stand the principal at the moment of the Bible school. I'm not going to allow this opportunity to go past without confronting you and saying to you, you'd better make sure you are in Bible school this year. And if you need more information, you can get more information at the information desk. You're not too old. I said this morning, here sits Ninny. I'm not going to ask how old you are, Ninny, or may I? 103. No, I'm joking. It was her birthday on Saturday, and she's now, how old if I may ask, Ninny? 81. And she's doing Bible school for the third time. Come on, people. Congratulations, Ninny. You see, I had to ask that question just to get an opportunity to say congratulations. You are not too old. You are not too young. You are not too clever. You are not too. Everybody and anybody can do it. I just want to read you a testimony with the permission of this person. I'm not going to give her name. But listen to this. This is what the Bible school did for one person very quickly. When I entered Bible school in January 2016, I was a broken and complete shattered soul. I was so angry and filled with unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. I did not know who I was or even to mention the concept of my authority as a believer. My relationship with my parents was disastrous. I believed so many lies and that put me in a prison of bondage for many, 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 many years. I honestly did not believe God loved me. My life was controlled by fear. I was so deep in failure mode that I even reflected on my child's life. I suffered so much abuse that people even declared that I would not be able to be healed, but God. During the process of my 3 years in Bible school, I discovered that God loves me. You need to get to Bible school. And out of this, the following happened. I learned to forgive others, but more importantly, myself. Through this, God healed me. As I got healed, it started dripping on my child. Grades started improving. There is much change and improvement in my child. I'm set free in ways that I am still discovering. I developed a servant heart. I learned even more to turn the other cheek, and that is a miracle in itself. I know. The fruit of the Spirit are more visible in my life than ever before. I am seeing my prayers being answered. For the first time in my life, I know God is listening. My identity got restored. For the first time, I know who I am. I started practicing my authority in Christ. I have changed so much. How may you ask? I know I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm set free from guilt, fear, shame that kept me in captivity for many years. I started taking back the authority over every area of my life. I started putting boundaries in place. I am making healthy decisions for the first time. Through the changes in my attitude, I started serving at home, honoring my parents for the first time ever. In this process, God has completely restored the relationship between us. I started submitting and respecting authority. I am not afraid anymore. And in the process, I am starting to like myself. The road was not easy, difficult. And the person goes on to say, I want to thank every pastor and person in Little Falls Christian Center who played a part in my journey. And I want to thank the Discipleship Training Center. God may bless you abundantly, love. And the person gives her name. Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. You see, in the Discipleship Training Center, you're not only gaining Bible knowledge, you are also gaining friendships. You are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Anything can happen at any time. And I want to say to you, seriously pray about it. And don't make the excuse of you don't have finances. It's a good opportunity to trust God. If I must tell you the miracle upon miracle upon miracle of students, how God provided for them supernaturally and carried them through, only because they said, here am I, Lord, use me. So, that's for the Bible school. Am I going to grow spiritually this year? You see, Philippians chapter number 1, verse 3, linking up with my team of my title, I am still unfinished. And here we have the scripture, and it says in Philippians 1 verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Then verse 6, being confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will finish it to the end. Hallelujah. My God started something good in me, and he's not gonna leave me thus far. Hallelujah. Being confident of this very thing, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, and it's not on the board, Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 21, it says, may Jesus make you complete in every good work for his will. And then it goes on to say, working in you, who is at work in us tonight to finish us and to make us what he intended us to be. It is Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. When I fail and when I fall, I can look up again. I can get up again because Christ is in me, the greater one. He's not going to leave me. He will finish his work in me and in you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we know some challenges, and Paul understood those challenges. He was so very conscious of those challenges in his life. He faced many disappointments, and so did I in my life. Unfortunately, you will face disappointments. But my last note for tonight, I'm going to throw in here. Joyce Meyer says, take your disappointments and make them reappointments, because you're going to make it in the end. Hallelujah. Read the last chapter of the book of Revelation. We win. Hallelujah. Oh, that is worth a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I once preached a message about the war within. It is unfortunately true that everybody looking at me and me, myself, we all have a war raging on the inside of us. Some are in victory ground, but there's still the enemy, and give him a half a chance, he's gonna take that chance. Some are in the middle of a battle right now, and it's just destruction all around you. And I hope to God that you are very few in this place, if indeed any. But we have no guarantees, my brother and sister. You all know that last year had its fair share of challenges, difficulties, upheavals, pains, worries, everything. We're not exempt in this year. But how wonderful that He gave us a message that thus far He was with us. He's going to be with us. He's not going to leave me. And He will complete the work that He started in me. I am confident of that. Hallelujah. This war within is described, and it's just for you to take notes. Romans chapter number 7 from verse 14. The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Therefore, if I do the things that I don't want to do, it's no longer I, but sin dwells in me. Yeah. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and I have to carry this flesh, nothing good dwells. Don't give the devil a pinky. He's going to grab your whole arm. Don't play with him. And the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. And then the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 16 to 25. 5, 16 to 25. Oh, but here's another promise for you, another scripture for you. Thank God He forgives our many sins. 1 John 1, 8. 1 John 1, 8. It'll be on the board for you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, even 70 times 7 a day, like we forgive if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I've often said, and if Clit is somewhere here tonight, there he sits, he knows it's my saying. Only those that know how much they have been forgiven of will be able to forgive others also freely. You see, often we want a God of judgment for others, but a God of grace for us. It may be time to reverse that and say we want a God of grace for others and a God of judgment for us. That'll bring the fear of the Lord upon us, my brother and sister. I was so tempted this morning when Pastor George read out those beautiful blessings in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. I thought, what would the reaction be if I come tonight and I read the curses? Come on. But is it in the Bible? No offense, George. It is in the Bible. And in the second service this morning, because the first service I heard it, I read the curses and the fear of the Lord came upon me. It's maybe time we read the curses. Because those curses come because of disobedience. Disobedience will bring disaster. What is sin? It is disobedience to God. That's what sin is. So, that stupid clock is chasing me again. But this scripture in 1 John from verse number 8, 1 John 1 from verse 8, is not a license to sin. It does not mean, okay, I tell you what, Saturday coming, I'm going to have a nice sin party by myself. Woo! Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. Uh-huh. Right. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. By the way, the word flesh says, it's a built-in law of failure. Your flesh is a built-in law of failure. And unfortunately, we all have flesh. Sorry, angels, I can't see you right now. We have flesh. There is in all of us a built-in law of failure. Not license to sin. Grace is no license to sin. All creatures are made to serve the Creator. Today at my prayer place, I had the most beautiful, beautiful array of birds. I don't know where they all came from. Yes, the coins were there too, by the way. As always, a miracle, miracle, miracle. But the birds, and you know what they were doing? They were singing, honoring and praising the Creator. But in the absence of praising the Creator, we have an inbuilt need to praise something, to serve something. If you're not serving God, you will serve the flesh or you will serve the devil. And there's a price tag and consequences. I have to say it here in case I don't have time further on. Listen to me. God forgives sin, period. The only sin that is unpardonable is the sin against the Holy Spirit. But in the Spirit, I tell you tonight, God will forgive sins, but the consequences of sin has got lifelong effects sometime on us, isn't it? We'll have to live with it. We'll have to manage it. We'll have to ask God's grace to deal with it. We must daily decide whose servant we are. Is it God or self or the devil? We only have today. Spoke about it this morning in the offering when I said the Israelites had to collect just enough manna for the day. None of us have a guarantee that we will reach home tonight. And that's not a curse, it's a fact. None of us know. Amen? This morning when Pastor George in the second service said, one of us here in this church could be the next one to go on to be with the Lord. It became so quiet. But we only have today. What am I going to make about or do with today? I want to read you here about sin in James chapter number 1, verse 14 to 15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away like a slave by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire, which draw you now and enticed you, has conceived, it's taken root, it gives birth to sin. You see, up until this point here, it is not sin. But when it gives birth to sin, that's when the disaster strikes. And sin, when it is full grown, I've seen it, brings forth, and I want to add, premature death. Many people die before their time because they're drawn away by desires. They don't deal with it. Therefore, the sin deals with them. And they die prematurely. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. We only have this moment. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's a word God gave us at the end of last year. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. For us, the unfinished ones, there is an encouraging scripture. It's found in Lamentations 3, verse 22. If you can put that on the board. Lamentations 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Hey, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The soul in the next 21 days who seeks him. There's been times in my life that I really messed up. And the only prayer I could pray was, Lord, your mercies will be new for me in the morning. Protect me through the night. Maybe some of you in this place need tonight to say, tomorrow morning, God sparing me, God willing, his mercies will be new again and again and again. I told you once about a tribe. It's a story somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. There's an island where people live like that. Every night they go to bed and they sleep, they die. That's what they believe. And when they wake up in the morning, they wake up as newborn people that never existed before. It's a nice philosophy. I like that one. So brothers and sisters, don't give up. Even if you sit here tonight and you feel you're unfinished, maybe you sit here tonight and you feel that your life is falling apart. Maybe you feel under condemnation right now. Just make sure it is conviction and not condemnation, because God does not bring condemnation. He brings conviction. Hallelujah. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation is of the devil. If you sit here tonight and you say, my God, this guy's talking to me now. What does that pastor know about my life? I want to tell you, I know nothing about your life except which the Holy Spirit might reveal. But this I say to you, God knows your heart. And there is for you a new beginning. There is for you a wonderful adventure ahead. Adventure is an unusual, exciting experience. Honestly, I think, and this is probably not going to come across very, very good, but I think that if I knew Christian life was going to be so hard with Christ, I probably would have thought twice. Come on, don't look so holy. I was in a church with hellfire and brimstone and spitting and everything else. And when that pastor preached, all you wanted to do is run forward and give your life to the Lord. And you thought after that moment, it's going to be moonlight and moonshine and roses for the rest of my life. Wake up. It wasn't. But God, he's not finished with me yet. And even in the midst of a moment where I feel, oh, I disappointed you again. Oh, Lord, I didn't make the mark again. Lord, please forgive me. Your mercies will be new tomorrow morning again for me. There's a little voice that says, it's okay. You're still under construction. Like the bridge behind me. At the moment, this lane over here is not worth much apart from the effort that was put into it. But if that last slab is finished, it'll serve a lifetime. For a lifetime. So lessons from Paul. Please put on the board Philippians 3 verse 12. Not that I have already attained, Paul says, or am already perfected. But I press on, my brother and sister, to that moment that I'm going to be finished. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, in this room tonight, there is not a person that do not have a purpose. In case you wondered, I will repeat again. You have a purpose. Young people, you have a purpose. Older people that seem to come to the end of their lives, you have a purpose. It is not over until it is over. And guess what? Then it actually starts. Look, I've often thought about this, and I say this not lightly, but I've often thought, I just want to spend like 5 million years with somebody like Job, and then the next maybe 10 million with Paul and so on. And then only I'll get to the point where I'll spend eternity with Jesus, asking all the things that I don't understand now. Why bad things happen to good people is the first question. You heard that, Jesus? Help me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived. But one thing I do, forgetting those things of 2018 which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead in 2019, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. You see, Paul knew that there was no place for pride in his life. Pride is a killer. Spiritual pride is even worse. It is a thing that smells to the heavens. Let me quickly read you a few things about pride. Here in Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Excuse me. Here in chapter 8, verse 13 of Proverbs, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, says God. And listen to this one. This is in chapter number 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Seven is an abomination to him, a proud look. The moment we go around and say, you know, I'm not that bad, that's pride. It's pride. Watch out. That is why John said, I must decrease and he must increase, and that clock is running. Paul emphasizes the fact that God is still busy with him. He's not arrived yet. There's still room for improvement. Can somebody say amen? See you in DTC. Discipleship Training Center. There is still a lot of work to be done in him. He is still under construction. You see, Paul uses the word perfected. This word perfected in the Greek means to become what God intended you to be. Now, I don't know how many of you tonight can be proud enough to say, I have arrived, I have become what God intended me to be, apart from being a Christian. God's got a job for you young people. He's got a job for you middle-aged people. And he's got a job for you older people. He's got a job for each and every one of us. And when we realize that, and I pray right now, God, that in the next 21 days, you will reveal to your people their purpose here on earth. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Amen. It's that place of completeness. It's the final state when you're mature. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul wrestles with this thorn in his flesh. And I'm just going to very briefly read it for you. And lest I should be exalted above measure, in other words, become proud, by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And then it goes on, and it says, where am I? Concerning this thing, thank you guys. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Listen, I want to tell you, God says, and he sees in this room, there are many, many people that have prayed more than 3 times, take this thing away from me. And it's still there. Now, you don't have to say amen because you'll give yourself away that you actually have a thorn. Who, me? A thorn? Paul had a thorn, come on. What was the purpose of that thorn? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. If I am so strong that it is because of me that I'm conquering this thing, I'm in trouble, pride. Realize I cannot overcome in myself. I need to crucify this flesh, and it's not a thing that we do once off. It is a journey. And then he goes on to say, I press towards the goal. Right? Where am I? There am I. Verse number 10. It ends by this, like this. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When you realize your dependence on God, you're strong. When you reach a place that you're so strong in yourself that you don't need God anymore, you're weak. So, D.L. Moody, a quote that I used in an offering 2 weeks ago, I think, or week before last. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him. By God's help, I am to be that person. Fully consecrated means sanctified, set apart, to become that which God intended you to be, the perfect person. I pray that in the period of time ahead, all of us will reach a place where we realize how much we need God. There's a quote here I want to read. It says, the problem with many Christians is not their despair, like that of Paul, but the lack of despair. That we're so okay, so finished, that I don't need to be broken before God. I sat weeping as I typed these notes because I thought, my God, there's still something inside of me stirring here. And I want to get to that before I close because I see my time has gone. It's much to say. Sanctification. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by the designer. Sanctification means I am setting myself aside these 3 weeks and hopefully longer. I'm buying out Wednesday evenings and the odd Thursday at this point to come to Bible school so that God can work with me so that I can become sanctified, a perfect person, that which God intended me to be. Your lifestyle, brother and sister, may never contradict your Christian testimony. Your lifestyle may never contradict your Christian testimony. I've become painfully aware in the last period of time, and this morning you might have thought that Pastor George came across harsh or hard when he spoke about alcohol. But how can a person be a pastor preaching? And I'm talking about somebody that is not probably the one that you're thinking about or whatever else. I don't care right now. Because wrong is wrong. How can a person sit in the bar with his family at home and on a Sunday take a pulpit? What can you give people? How can you practice a lifestyle of godlessness and call yourself a Christian? We need to watch out. Judgment is close. I don't care what people think about what I'm saying right now. I'm a mouthpiece of God. And He says, get your lives in order. I want you to become finished. I want you to be Christ-like. The end of this year, you must be closer than what you are right now to me, says the Lord. You see, the heart is the place. And this is my final point before I'm going to do something. The heart is that place. Listen carefully. This was a revelation to me that pumps blood into my body. To all my extremities, there to the fingertips, it pumps the blood. Spiritually, it's the same. If my spiritual heart is like seared with a hot iron, cauterized, that heart looks like a heart. It is still a heart, but it stopped doing the function it was supposed to do, my brother and sister. It cannot spread life. It's dead. What's in your heart tonight? The fact that you're in this church tonight, apart from the people that we prayed in today, and I said, God, send people into that place tonight that need to hear this message because they have to repent. They have to make right with God. Because what if they die and their blood is on our hands as the ministers? Apart from you right now, the other blood-washed people of God, if you find yourself in a position where you are sinning and it does not bother you anymore, your heart is failing. This is what they call preaching sin. Let's call it hellfire and brimstone because there is a real hell waiting for us. The results, consequences, effects of sin affect all of us, either for ourselves, in ourselves, or by others on us. I'm not finished. There is a scripture. And this is a very painful exercise. I'm only going to do it once this year. But in Romans chapter number 1, verse 24, we read, therefore God has given them up to uncleanness. It's talking about homosexuality here, but the principle is true. He's given them up to uncleanness. And then in verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions. And in verse 28, something happens. You see, God gives us up. He gives us up. And then He gives us over to a debased mind. If that doesn't scare you, nothing will. And probably your heart is in danger of failing. I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. If you've got a thing in your life that you're playing around with and you think you can still control it, we're going to deal with it here in January on the first Sunday. We're going to deal with it. I'm going to close with something that I asked them to prepare. There is a singer by the name of Mandisa. I don't know how many of you know her. Young people, you should. Anybody here? Mandisa? Oh, some of you are right. There's a song called Unfinished. That song encapsulates this whole message. She was or is a gospel singer that preached a message with her song. And then something happened and she realized that she's still unfinished. So I want you to play that clip for me right now, and we're going to close with that. Listen to this.
My song Overcomer was inspired by my friend Keisha. She battled breast cancer, and as we prayed for her, we were believing that God was going to heal her. Can imagine my anger and my surprise and my disappointment when Keisha died. She went home to be with the Lord. There was something that happened in my heart when that occurred, and that is that I started questioning and doubting and wondering, is this God that I believe in really good? If so, why would He allow bad things to happen? I started wondering if He existed, and then I started wondering if He does exist, why does He allow things like this to happen? I went into the deepest depression of my life, and I was there for several years. As God started lifting me out of that pit, He started showing me several things. One thing is that his ways are higher and his ways are better. And as much as that gets on my nerves when I don't understand his ways, I am now coming to terms with the fact that he knows better than me and that things are gonna happen that I may not understand. Our God is mysterious. We'll never fully be able to grasp how high and how low and how wide is his love. We may not be able to fully understand everything that he allows to happen. But here's what I know, is that my God is still good and my God is still faithful. Mm. And even when I don't understand, I can trust and I can rest in that truth. Another thing that he started showing me was that he who began a good work in me will carry it into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I say that because I feel like I battle the same kind of problems, the same sins over and over and over again, and I start to beat myself up. I battle so much with shame. But God is also beginning to show me that he is not done with me yet. And that instead of beating myself up and wallowing in shame and pity and regret, that he wants me to turn around, to repent, to start all over again, to not dwell in all of that negativity, and to rest and to trust that he is still working in my life. That scripture in Philippians 1:6 has become a lifeline for me when I start to get so worried and anxious about everything that I've done wrong. I want to encourage you with this too. That even if you mess up time and time again, it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up. So don't wallow in fear and negativity. Trust that your God is still working, that you're not a mess, that you're not a failure, that you're not a mistake, you're just unfinished.
Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Would you please just bow your heads for a minute? I'm just going to pray and say, Father, that in this night, as you deal with us about sin, the reality of hell, O God, but the greater reality of heaven for us, Lord. Father, that you will touch right now everybody in this place with your spirit. Lord, if I minister tonight and somebody in this place says, Pastor Tiens, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me because I want to make a decision tonight to start this year right, to give my life to the Lord. Lord, I want to start anew as a child of God. I want my name to be written in the book of life. I want to know that I will go to heaven when I die. I don't want to only wonder about it, but I want to know. I pray that the Holy Spirit will now touch your heart. And if there's anybody like that, that you will raise your hand now, wherever you are, just raise your hand and we will pray. Thank you. I see hands over there, all over the show, all over this place. There are hands going up. You can put them down again the moment that you've raised them. I'm not going to stretch this out too long, but what I am asking is that if there are people here tonight that are seriously concerned about your spiritual journey, and you want to make a recommitment to the Lord, when I ask the question, are you closer now to the Lord than what you were at the beginning of last year? You realized with a shock that you actually are not. If you say, Pastor Tiens, I need prayer tonight, would you please raise your hands and that we can pray with you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. That's good. You can put them down again. I'm just going to ask those dear, dear people who raised their hands. Nobody is looking around now. If you could please just make your way out of your chairs and come and stand here in front with me. Come on. Let's just come to the front and give them a big hallelujah as they come. Everybody that raised their hands, come on, don't sit. Come. Just come. There were hands here and over there also. There was a family there. It's good. You come, you come. You just come and stand here with me. If you still feel you want to come forward, you're welcome. Make a new commitment here in the beginning of the year and say, Lord, I want to start right. If cell leaders and zone supervisors and so on can just come and help me, please, with these dear loved ones. This is good. This is good. Well done. It's a new year. What's your relation? Sure, you could have fooled me. That's a compliment. You look like two sisters, so. And that doesn't mean you look old. Praise God. Each and every one of you here, brothers, sisters, I call you that because that's what you are now. Would you please pray with me? Just from the bottom of your heart, say after me. And everybody can do that here at the beginning of the year. Just say, God Almighty, please save me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Write my name tonight in the Lamb's book of life. Forgive me all my sins. I acknowledge tonight that Jesus died for me and was raised from the dead. And now seated at the right hand of God, He intercedes for me. I'm saved. And I thank you, Father. I'm going to live for you in 2019 and all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you. Congratulations. There we go. Congratulations. You can just go with Pastor George there. Congratulations. Bless you. Bless you. Just go with him. Bless you. Congratulations. Moisue. Tase. Congratulations. Amen. Pain. How's the pain? Is it better? Getting there. Amen. Let's just agree with this woman. This devil is not going to take this woman's leg, foot, life, nothing. In the name of Jesus, I declare right now that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed completely. Father, you will protect this woman's life and her extremities, oh God. You will touch her right now. You give her also strength in her spirit, Lord, because I saw that this thing is getting to her spirit. And the Lord says to you, tonight He returns the joy to your life. For the joy of the Lord is still your strength. You've had it in the past. He's been trying to steal it. He's not going to succeed. I speak life for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Right at this point, everybody in this place that say, I have a very serious, I'm not talking about just wrong thoughts or something, but I have a serious thing and I need to deal with that at the beginning of this year. Sorry. Is that good? I need to deal with that thing at the beginning of this year. I am not, listen to me, I'm not going to allow sin to deal with me. I'm going to deal with it tonight. If you're brave enough and you have enough courage and you believe that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, you can come forward now and we're going to pray with you. Come on, don't be shy. I'm not going to tell you that in this place everybody is so super holy. Hallelujah. One brother here. We're going to deal with things. We're going to deal with things. We're not going to allow things to deal with us. Come, come, come. There's a person here, I don't know if you're in the front or not, but you've been so depressed because you just don't seem to get the victory. You've been so depressed that you considered taking your life, and it wasn't just manipulation, it was real. You just didn't feel to go on anymore. If that's your, that's you, come. I want to deal with that thing called disappointment. Because tonight God is giving you reappointment. Don't miss that opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. You see, none of us in this place is finished yet. Some are just a little more finished than others. That's right. Holy Spirit is working with people. I want to tell you this, if you're still sitting there, is the devil lying to you? Because he wants to take your life even in this year. Deal with sin. Deal with sin. The devil has come to kill, steal, destroy. That's his job description. But Jesus came that you might have life. Life. The God kind of life, and that in abundance. Right. If you can pray with me, please. Luke chapter number 15. That prodigal son sat there and he said, I will rise up and I will go to my father's house and I will say that I have sinned. Let's start this year. Get up, arise, go into the year. God bless you. Father, I pray right now that you will protect your people. When they start with a fast, O Lord, from this very moment, that you will guard them, O God. Lord, that you will give your angels charge concerning them. Lord, that they will have supernatural strength to say no when the temptations come. Lord, that they will be proud of themselves at the end of this period of time and say, it was by the grace of God that I finished this fast and I finished it better than when I started. Now I allow you to go in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit until we meet again here. Pastor Harold is back next week. It's going to be a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. Go in the peace of the Lord and pray for somebody a quick blessing before you go. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.